More and more people around the world are getting vaccinated against COVID-19, and some countries have started lifting restrictions on what people can do. But those vaccinations are happening more quickly in some places than others. And with me via Skype for our weekly look at some of the key global stories of the week is the BBC's Pete Ross. And Pete, let's start there. What's the latest on the pandemic where you are?
Yeah, there's a lot of news today on coronavirus vaccines. First of all, there's a bit of a row brewing between the United Kingdom and the European Union. Leaders of that bloc of the European Union are meeting on Thursday to discuss whether a ban on the Oxford AstraZeneca vaccine, banning exports of that vaccine to the UK. And now it's the British Prime Minister, Boris Johnson, said that he hopes to hold talks with European leaders. He spoke on the phone last night with Angela Merkel of Germany. He hopes to speak to some more leaders this week to try and stop that happening. But, you know, as the day has unfolded here, it feels that row is not going away. Now, what's basically happening is that the latest flashpoint appears to be over doses made at a factory in Holland. But really, I think the reason this is happening now is because of, well, I guess if you're sitting in Europe and you're looking at vaccination rates and you're comparing what's going on in the European Union and what's going on in the UK, they don't compare favorably. So at the moment in the United Kingdom, we have had almost half of adults, 50% of the adult population, has now had at least one jab. Now, that's a pretty impressive rate. I know you're doing well in America. You passed 100 million vaccinations just at the beginning of the weekend there. But I think the rate in the UK is pretty spectacular, particularly when you compare that to the EU's vaccination rate, which is sitting at just 12%. So if you're sitting in Europe and you're looking at Britain, you're thinking they're doing pretty well over there. Why should we be sending vaccine over there? And so that's what's happening at the moment. As I said, Prime Minister Boris Johnson hoping to end the row somehow, but at the moment we're not getting any signs. And it's expected that if it does happen, it could really push the UK's vaccination programme back, which, just very quickly, today, very sunny here in the UK. We're putting our clocks forward next week. We're all getting very excited for summer just around the corner. It's been a long few months of lockdown, and you can tell that the will, just, you know, from going out and about today when I was walking outside, you can tell that people are really wanting, you know, to get back to normal. And that, of course, means getting as many people vaccinated as possible. And if the EU starts blocking supplies, well, then that could put that into jeopardy.
All right, Pete, let's move now to India and Pakistan. Delegations from those two countries will be meeting in New Delhi tomorrow. They'll be discussing a water distribution treaty, and the sides usually meet annually to reaffirm the Indus Water Treaty, but this will be the first meeting in more than 2.5 years and could point to a thaw in relations between the two countries. Tell us more about this treaty and why it's so significant.
Absolutely. Well, listen, access to water is extremely important, isn't it? It's a huge global issue around the world. If you think of China and some of the countries that are critical of the big dam projects that go on there and how that can reduce water supply further down the line, you've got similar arguments, say, in the north of Africa. Well, this coming week, that global issue is going to be mirrored by, you know, the big rivals of India and Pakistan when they meet to discuss, as you've said, the Indus Water Treaty. Now, that was signed back in 1960. And these two nuclear powers are often at loggerheads. You know, they share borders, and there's lots of disputes between these two countries. However, in 1960, they got together and they agreed on water rights, dividing six rivers. Three to the east go to India, the sole control of India, and then three in the west go to the sole control of Pakistan. Now, you could say it's almost a weather vane on the relations between these countries, because they're supposed to meet annually to just discuss any matters around those rivers, whether one wants to build a dam or you know, a hydroelectric power station, something like that. They get together and they negotiate, and it's been pretty successful. However, as you said, they've not met for the last 2.5 years. That could have been down to coronavirus, but it could also just be to the fact that relations between the two nuclear powers, it's worth remembering, were close to an all-time low. Perhaps not an all-time low, because they have fought wars since their independence in the last few decades. But you might remember in 2019, the disputed area of Kashmir, Pakistan controls some of it, India controls some of it. Well, India took the unilateral decision to change the special status of Kashmir, and that really angered Pakistan. So relations were not good at all. However, the two sides getting getting together for the first time in almost 3 years to discuss, you know, the Indus Water Treaty does point to, you know, hopefully a thawing in relations, which again can only be a good thing.
All right, Pete, finally, let's move to Southeast Asia, where this week Myanmar will mark the 76th anniversary of the foundation of the army in that country. Each year, the event is commemorated with a pretty big military parade. And this year's event, of course, follows a military coup last month, which has been followed by weeks of protests and a brutal crackdown. What is the latest there and what can we expect this week?
Well, that's exactly it. Protests have gripped the country since that military coup last month. Protesters want to return to their democratically elected civilian government after the military seized control on February 1st. The military claim there was widespread fraud in last year's democratic election. So since then, the military, there's been protests around the country. I think, you know, one of my colleagues has probably covered it with you before. It's extensively been in the news. And those protests have been brutally cracked down by the military there in Myanmar. According to the United Nations, at least 149 people have died, but it's suspected to be a lot more than that. I've seen figures far higher than that in local reports. And the violence has shown no sign of abating. Protests taking place over the weekend and protests planned for this week as well. That's why I think it's particularly interesting that there's going to be this big military parade this Saturday. Little bit of background on that. Now, the man in charge at the moment, General Hilang, he's been a military commander for many years. And while in recent times, Myanmar has been, you know, stepping towards a more democratic society, it's had democratic elections, General Hilang has managed to keep the military relevant. And every year there would be a big parade and he would give a big tub thumping speech about, you know, the military and how good it is. So I think, you know, in a normal year, that might raise some eyebrows. While we might not say it's a flashpoint, because it's important to say protests are still going on, it'd still be very interesting to see what happens if the annual parade goes ahead and the kind of reaction from the protesters.
All right. That is the BBC's Pete Ross joining us from London. Pete, always good to talk to you. Thank you.
Always a pleasure. Thanks, Mark.